We are going to be looking at verses from chapter 9, verse 20 through, and then we're going to read through verse 1 of chapter 10. Now, I do want to share a few things before we get into this morning's message. The message we're going to preach this morning is actually the introduction for next Sunday's message. All right? So what we're going to look at this morning is going to set the stage and introduction for next Sunday's message. And I want you to get this because look with me. We'll read all the scripture in a minute. But look at verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Now, chapter 10, verse 1, there's a word "moreover." That is a similar to our word "for" or "because of." It connects with what is prior. Now, leading up to this point, Paul has been talking about, we've been looking at, of Christian liberty and love limiting Christian liberty. He's been going through that since chapter 8, chapter 9. He illustrates it. He gives some illustrations of this. Then when we get into chapter 10, what he's talking about this morning that we're going to look at, he's saying that you need to run your race well. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Running your race well. And he says, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you this instructions here and illustrate what I'm talking about. Because remember in verse 23 of our text last week, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that it might be partakers thereof with you." He says the gospel was what mattered to him. And because of that gospel, because of his calling, he needs to run the race that God has set before him well. But then chapter 10, verse 1, which we're going to get into next week, he says, Israel was supposed to run well. Israel had all the opportunities to run well, but he's going to remind them of what God did in chapter 10. That's next week's message. And he reminds them all this, but says, you didn't listen, you didn't take what you had, you didn't see it, and you're not doing it. So he takes an illustration and he expands upon it in chapter 10. Now coming back to what we're going to look at, that's next week's message, whet your appetite a little bit. This week, we're going to look at this thought of running the race well that is set before us. Now, I want us to understand some thoughts as we get into this. The last few weeks, we've been looking at what really mattered to Paul. What really mattered to Paul was not what people would normally think matters. It wasn't his own agenda. It wasn't him being taken care of. It wasn't those things that we've been looking at. It was him fulfilling his responsibility as a blood-bought child of God and living that life and living that under the liberty that he had in Christ, but realized love limited his freedom because he wanted to serve God more than anything in life. But he wanted the individuals of Corinth to get it. Do you know what is interesting I love about Paul's writing? Paul uses illustrations, but then he uses illustrations to illustrate his illustrations. Then he uses illustrations to illustrate his illustrations to illustrate his illustrations. And he gets it and he explains it. You know what the purpose of illustrations are? To open a window so we can understand the truth that is behind it. Do you know the reason sometimes we use object lessons and we use things and we use silly illustrations in myself sometimes when I'm sharing a message and giving that is so we can understand a simple truth. Now, Paul is going to use an illustration of that of running. Now, in that day and age, this was a common illustration to them. All right, this is a common illustration to them. Now, they had four types of games. Now, most of us know about the Greek Olympics, and that's similar to our Olympics every 4 years. They had other games that were every 3 years, some every 2 years, one every year. Some were for a wreath of pine, some were for a wreath of apples, some were different things, and they got different rewards for the different games. The Greek games were the olive branches and those. And so there was different rewards for the different games that they were a part of. But everyone in that culture understood this illustration of running a race. And so Paul was taking that which was common to them, and he wanted to see the purpose behind running the race was to finish the race well and win the prize. Now, I know this is going to take some of you back by surprise this morning. I can be a very competitive person. I don't like to do things just to do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to pour my whole heart into it because I want to win. Now, one of my favorite games that I don't play as much because I know I can get a little too competitive at times with it, so I realize I need to slow down on that, is Monopoly. Monopoly is the best game ever created by mankind. It is not a game of chance. It is not a game of luck. It is a game of pure skill. And it is using your brain to manipulate, using your brain to win that game and use those things, not manipulate, right, Tina? And you use that. But, and many of you, you play games. How many have been involved in some sports of somewhat at any part of your life? Now, some of you say, well, I would not do a sport. Now my sport's sitting on the couch flipping a remote. That's my sport. But in the old days, you used to play some sports and did some things. You were part of an activity. You're part of a team. You're part of a competition. And as much as they told you, how many ever played in a league and says, it's just for fun. We're not even to keep points. And you sat back and you still kept points. All right? You know what I'm talking about. Because you want to win. That's the same in the spiritual realm. We are not to run this race just to run the race. We're to run the race to finish well and to get the prize. This morning, I want us to look at this thought. Are you running your race well? If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, knowing not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray as we look at this portion of scripture this morning, that you would just work in our lives, in our hearts, and challenge us, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated. Look with me again in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. I want us to realize this morning our race. Paul wanted the church at Corinth to realize what they were doing. They were running a race for God. They were in that competition, if you will, of going forward and going and to accomplish something for the cause of Christ. This is the race that they're in. Now, I want us to imagine this morning, every one of us are on the starting line. The starting line of a race that Paul is talking about. All's going to run, but not all's going to finish. All's going to start, but all not going to get the prize that they could have. Not all going to cross that finish line and hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, what gets us on the starting line? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run the race that is set before us with patience or with endurance. Let us run that race that God has given us. How do we get on that starting line? We get on that starting line. It starts with this: putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know just because you were born in America does not mean you're on the starting line in this Christian race? What puts you on the starting line is that you realize there was a time in your life that you realized that you're a sinner. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means we knew we were a sinner. And we realized that God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we realize God's great love of his sacrifice of his only begotten Son. His blood was shed and poured out on the cross of Calvary. They took him off that cross. They placed him in the borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose and he had victory over the grave, victory over sin. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. That means that you have taken out of the miry pit and your feet are set upon the rock because of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you're putting your faith and trust in him, not in the church, not in a religion, not in any type of works you've ever done, but in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. You put your faith in him and he saved you. Now, you're on the starting line. You see, what happened in Corinth? We know Corinth, if you've been here since we started this study in the book of Corinthians, you know that Corinth, there's a bunch of wickedness happening in there. And you know that there was a remnant of believers, the church at Corinth, those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a lot of the pagan rituals that they were involved in trying to still come into the church. And Paul was warning them and saying, hey, you can't live that way. You can't do those things. And now he says, here you need to continue to run that race that you're in. You're running it. Now, when we run the race, Paul gives us some words here. We're going to look at some of these words that are given here in this race. But as Paul is telling them to run this race, they're on the starting line of this race. And they're going to have to go against some of the things in their life. Do you know some things hinder us in a race? Is our own stubbornness. Because you know what they could have said as they were getting ready to run the race? And Paul's talking about this race. Now we know they're not actually running a race. This is an illustration to get them to see what they're doing in their life. And he says this. You have some things in your life that's hindering you. And sometimes it's your own stubbornness. Because you, I'm going to tell you what you need to do to run this race. But you already have in your mind what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. And no one's going to tell you different. You know what? Many of us are like that today. I don't need someone else to tell me how I can become better. I don't need anyone else to tell me that how I need to run this race that's set before me. I don't need to be told that I need to run it to obtain the prize. I already know that there's a prize. I already know what my finished goal is. I already know I need to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I already know those things. Why is someone going to tell me? Why is Paul illustrating this? Why is Paul giving this to me? I don't need to be told this. I know all the answers. I could write a book, How to Run a Race. I tell you, I understand all the things of the training, and I understand the physical rigor, and I understand all the things I have to do into it, and I understand how I have to eat. I understand how I have to get the proper sleep. I understand all the things that I need to do, and I need to hydrate, and all those things. I understand all that. Why does Paul need to tell me what I need to do? Paul, you already told us how we're supposed to live in this letter. He already told us in other books how we're supposed to do this and how I'm supposed to live this way and how I'm supposed to do this. Why now are you trying to get us to get this? You know why? Because they were stubborn and they knew what they're supposed to do, but they still weren't doing it. Do you know how many of us are like that? Myself included many times. We know what we're supposed to do, but we don't always want to do it. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to change what I'm doing. You see our race here. Paul gets our attention with this idea of the race that we're running. Look again there. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. What does that mean, obtain? It means that you are running in a way to finish completion. That word obtain carries the idea of completion, of finishing what you've started. Now, some of you need a little help because you like long distance running. You like to torture your body of doing cross country type of stuff and run, and there's no end in line. And finally, 5 days later, it feels like you finally get to the end of that race and it's finally done. And it gets hard. It gets tiring. But you know what Paul says? You run till you obtain, till you finish. You know, the Christian race is, sometimes it feels like a long time. How many of you, you've been alive over 5 years? Now, 10 years. 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, 15 years, under 20, to some of you feels like a long time. But if you get to Brother Rich's days of 70 plus years, 80 plus years, somewhere around there, just kidding, it feels like a very long time. Now if you get to Judy, you get up there, it feels like a very long time, doesn't it, Judy? And sometimes you're ready for that race to be done. Because as you're running, it gets tiring. How many have gotten tired if you ever run a race or any competition? And how many men, you're just saying, I can't wait till this finishes. I can't wait till this gets done. I just want to be done with this race. I don't want to go any further. My knees are hurting. My back's hurting. My head's hurting. The snot's coming out of my nose. I just want to be done. I don't want to run anymore. See, you're paying attention. I threw that in just to make sure. I don't want to run anymore. I don't want to do this. This is torture to my body. But I got to keep going till I finish. And that's what Paul is telling him. You're running a race. In this race, you got to run well. You got to run till you obtain. But not only do we see her running the race, I want you to look at our training. Do you know we have a race? We're in a race. It starts at salvation, and we got to run to obtain. But look at verse 25. It gives us our training. How many of you have ever competed in something and you had to go through training to get to that place? You have to learn how to do certain things. Well, Paul's going to give us some training here in verse 25. Now, when Ethan was younger, I had the privilege of coaching his basketball and teaching stuff. And I like to teach the basics. Because if you don't get the basics, you're never going to do well. You can look fancy and make sloppy passes. You can look fancy and make a lucky shot. But if you learn the basics, if you learn the basics and you go through the training of this, do you know it might not look as pretty as someone else's, but if you have the right form and you shoot at the right spot on the backboard, you'll make 93% of your shots. But when you think you know better how to shoot a basketball and you don't square up, you don't put your knees the right way, you don't have the right form, you don't aim for the middle of the box on the backboard, you don't do those things, you know your shot level is down to 42%. But if you learn the basics and you shoot the right way, you make over 90-some percent of your shots. You got to go through the training. You got to go through the training of that. Brother Rick used to coach wrestling for many, many years. He's had some kids that look like this that want to come out and wrestle. He has some kids that look like this that want to come out and wrestle. And you know what? He could take this kid and make him a good wrestler. He could take this kid and make him a good wrestler. But you know what they all had to do? Go through the same training to get into the shape they needed to be in so they could compete in the race that they were in. Paul gives some training here. Do you know we as believers, we all start on the starting line. Do you know we all need to go through the same training? Well, I had more religious background before I got saved. I read the Bible even more before I got saved than that person. Or I've been in church a longer time than this person and that person. Do you know we all need to go through the same training so we can finish that race? Do you know there's not one person in this room, if you're saved by the blood of the Lamb and you're on the starting line, that you can't finish your race well? You can finish it if you go through the training. But with God's help and God's strength, we can finish the race that we're set on. Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means to contend. Striveth means there to contend, to struggle with dangers and difficulties. Do you know what it means? It's when you're running the race, part of your training is going through the hard obstacles and the hard things. Now, one of the things I like to do of helping people train and go through things when I was coaching basketball is I would let the kids dribble into a layup, and I would stand there, and as soon as they got close, I would shove them. Because what that would do is teach them how to shoot under pressure and under attack and have that struggle there. The other thing I would do is I would take and get behind them as they go up, and I would pull them down. So as they're trying to go up, they're fighting against that. And that are great tactics to get them to train and go through things. We would set up cones, and we would blindfold them and have them dribble the basketball around the cones without seeing. So they got used to the basketball and them and not being able to see anything and be able to do it. And you went through the training. You went through the torture and the pain and the struggles and the difficulties. I tell you, I never wrestled. But I tell you, I knew people that wrestled. And I tell you some of the things they had to eat or didn't eat because they were a pound too high or a pound too low and this and that, and they had to do these certain things. And some of the torture and stuff, they would torture the body. Some of you torture your bodies by running, and you would do this type of thing to yourself, and you would blow out your knees and legs and other parts of your bodies, Dave, and you would do those certain things, and you put yourself under, and he's saying, as you striveth for the mastery, as you striveth for it, and you contend for the faith, and you contend to run the race, you're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some difficulties. There's going to be some hard times, but it's training period of time for your run. Do you know every difficulty we go through is for our good? Do you know some of the hard things you've gone through this last week, last month, last year of your life? It's part of the training. It's getting you ready, Rich. It's getting you ready to run that race and continue to run the race and to finish the course and finish that. I tell you, this last year, I want us to look back. I believe most of the people in this room, you went through some hard times this last year. On a whole, I believe this was one of the hardest years for this church and some of the people in this church. They've gone through some of the most difficult difficulties ever faced in their lives. But you know, it's all for a reason and purpose. It's training. It's going through this. It's to contend. It's to deal with the struggles. If we're going to finish the race, we're not going to quit. We're not going to throw in the white towel and say, it's too hard for me. Do you know what happens a lot of times in our Christian race when we're running? When it gets tough, instead of looking at it as training and help, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, I've met people that they want to be an all-star basketball player, or they want to be an all-star runner, but they don't want to put the work into it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to be able to be a good basketball player, and I'm just going to watch it on TV. But I'm not going to do it. And I can watch how they play. Oh, I'm going to watch the Olympics this year, and I'm going to watch them run, and I'm going to watch some of the greatest runners, but I'm not going to go run myself and train. I'm going to watch them, and that's going to make me a good runner. No, how do we get better? How do we grow? How do we finish? How do we obtain? We got to do it. And we got to go through the struggles. We got to go through the hard times. And we grow because of it. But we also see this. We got to keep in mind there's this word temperate here. It means self-control. It was used to describe an athlete who, in preparing themselves for the games, abstain from things that would hinder them. You know what Paul says? You're in a race. You got to run it to finish. You're in a race. You got to run it, and you got to keep going through the training. And yes, the struggle is going to be there. Yes, the difficulties are going to be there. But you got to have self-control to abstain from things that are going to slow you down in your race. It says, lay aside the extra weight in Hebrews. And the sin that does easily beset us. Put aside those things that are going to slow you down. I need help for a moment. Kason, can you come up here for a minute? Kason is a runner. He likes to run. He likes to torture himself. So Kason, I know you normally don't do this, but I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to start here, and I want you to run as fast as you can down to that wall as soon as I say go. Ready? Nope. You got to wait. On your mark, get set, go. That's not as fast as you can. I want you to run faster. Come on. The longer you take, the longer the message is. On your mark, get set, go. All right, come back over here. That was better. Now we got to run. We got to run to the finish. Now, turn around, Kason. When I say go, I want you to run as fast as you can, just like you show us. On your mark, get set, go. I want you to go. Come on, go. Go. All right, good. You can have a seat. Now, I want you to see this. What he's talking about is this. There are things that we are not self-controlled over that is holding us back as we're running that race that we're supposed to be finishing. Self-control means we go without certain things, we abstain from certain things, we don't allow certain things a part of us and on us that's going to slow us down. What are we letting to hinder us in our Christian life this morning, in our Christian race? Paul had self-control. Paul didn't involve himself in certain things because he knew his purpose and his goal. What's self-control? Well, if you're preparing for something, let me ask you, Cole, I'll ask you a question this morning. If you're getting ready to play basketball, is it a good idea to drink a whole 2-liter of Mountain Dew before you go on the court? Not that carbonation before you go on the court. You do not want that carbonation before you go on the court. That is not going to make you feel good. Usually, if you drink anything, it should be water or some type of drink that has certain things in it to dehydrate your body, and you're supposed to drink that at least an hour before. Not right before. You're not even supposed to drink water right before and that. You're supposed to hydrate yourself hours before. And there's a formula, some a little more and a little this and this. And the last you should have is up to an hour before because your body and dehydrate yourself so you're in that place to run that race. Self-control means I'm not going to fill my body with things that are going to slow me down. Now, some of you have sweet tooths. How many have a sweet tooth in here? How many, if someone put a Hershey bar, Lori, in front of you, and you at first say you don't want it, but later that day you see it sitting there again, and you see it later there again, eventually you get weary, right? And what do? You say this. No, 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 no. This is what Lori says. I'll just have one little bite of this. And she has one little bite of it. She sets it down with all intentions of just having that one little bite. But soon as that little bite drips down to her face and down into her mouth and hits the woohoo part of your stomach, she goes, ooh, one little more bite. And she takes another bite. Before she knows it, that giant Hershey bar, I didn't say what size it was. You see the Valentine's Hershey bars that are this big? That's what I'm talking about. That giant Hershey bar is gone. Do you know Many people are like that spiritually speaking. We don't have self-control. And we are filling our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our lives with stuff that's going to hinder us in our Christian race. Self-control. It means you're tempering yourself. You're doing without those things. Do you know you don't need filth in your life? Get this. Do you know the filth of this world is going to slow you down in your Christian life? Do you know if you have the wrong thoughts? If you're looking at the wrong things? If you're putting those wrong images in your mind? You know what that's going to do? It's going to slow you down and you're not going to finish the race that you set before. Do you know having that wrong type of language, that wrong type of lifestyle, that wrong type of stuff is not going to help you in your Christian life? It's going to slow you down. Do you know any sin in our lives that's unconfessed is going to slow us down in our Christian life? If I'm going to compete in football, if I'm going to compete in basketball, if I'm going to compete in running, I'm not going to put stuff in my life if I want to finish well. Then why am I doing it spiritually speaking? Why am I doing things in my Christian life that I know God doesn't want me to do? Why am I going places I know God doesn't want me to go? Why am I not leading my family the way I know God wants me to lead my family? Why am I doing these things if I know that's going to slow me down in my Christian life? If I'm going to run that race, if I'm going to finish that race, if I'm going to be what God wants me, I got to have self-control. Look at verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word keep under means to beat black and blue, to smite so as to cause bruises. It carries the idea of a boxer who buffets his body and is able to take it, and you go through, and this is the idea of the self-control. He keeps it under self-control continually, and it was not easy to do so, but he put himself under subjection. That word subjection is an intense word, and that means to lead away into slavery, to make a slave and to treat as a slave with sternness and discipline, or a military term is you put yourself under subjection, you put yourself under the direction of someone else. Some of you have been in the military. Is there not sternness in the military? Is there not this? And Paul says, I have kept myself under the sternness of this because I understand the importance of what I'm doing. I want the discipline in my life. He says, I want to be under subjection. I want the discipline. I tell you, it takes discipline to be able to run a race. I got to discipline myself the way I eat, the way I think. Do you know thinking has a lot to do with competition and competing in racing? And you focus on what is before you, and you clear your mind of everything else so you can focus on your race and that, and you look at the finish line. What happens if you're running the race? Eli 2.0, what happens if you're running your race? He's another of those terrible runners. And you're running the race, and you look behind you at your competition. You slow down. You slow down in that. Do you know, as we're running that race with sternness and discipline, we need to discipline ourselves to fix our eyes on the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And we're looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, and we're focused upon Him, and we're looking and running and not looking behind us and around us and at everything else and every other circumstance. We have that discipline. We're under subjection. We're under the authority of God, and says, I'm going to run the way God wants me to run. Do you know God has given us ways that we're supposed to run a race? And we're to subject ourselves under His authority as a believer? I don't have time this morning to give you all the guidelines that God's Word gives us, but He does give us guidelines how we're supposed to run the race. And we're to subject ourselves under His authority and say this, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord. You want me to raise my family this way? Yes, Lord. You want me to live this way? Yes, Lord. You want me to abstain from this? Yes, Lord. You want me to do this? Yes, Lord. I'm not going to question God. I'm not going to say, God, do you think that's really right? God, you think if I have that Twinkie, it's really going to affect my running? God says, don't have it. You think it really is going to matter if I work out today, this week? Or maybe I'll just sit on the couch and eat a bag of potato chips and I'll still be in the... You think it's really going to... No. Run that race God set before you. Listen to his voice. Listen to his direction. And run that race. This is the training period. This is putting ourselves under subjection. This is being under self-control. This is doing those things that are given here. Look again with me in verse number 25 or 26. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. All right, you know what he's saying here? He says, understand your purpose in running. You're not running just to run. How many of you have ever seen anyone kind of just doing like this, beating at the air? All right? Now, how many of you have ever had a surgery that they put you under some medication and you get a little on the loopy side of life? And you start to think you see things. You ever had that, Rich? They put you totally out. How many have had that where you think you see things because of meditation, and you start going like this? Woo, woo! Something's getting me, and you're going all weird. Now, don't think I'm the only one that's ever done that, Judy. Don't you laugh at me. And you're going, and you're beating at the air. You're just going through. You know what this means? You're going through the motions, but it really doesn't matter. You're just kind of beating at this, and you're exercising, and you're giving energy out, and you're doing all this, but it's not accomplishing anything. And you know what Paul says? You have a purpose. The purpose is not just to run the race. The purpose is to run the race well for God and for his glory. That's the purpose. The purpose is not to be a man pleaser, but to be a God pleaser. The purpose is not just to beat at the air. The purpose is to understand why you're here and why God saved you and what your purpose is to do and follow that purpose and finish that race God's given you. That's what he's saying. Now, how many of you have ever seen someone shadow box before? All right? Now, I understand it's a purpose of training, and I understand all that is there, but it looks kind of funny to me. Because you don't see anything there, and you're just kind of going at it and going through it. Do you know, I did some reading on this. There are some boxers that said they are more exhausted after shadow boxing than they are winning a major competition that they're in. They exert more energy, more stamina, more in that than they do in the actual ring competing against someone. Do you know, I think a lot of Christians are wasting a lot of energy and a lot of time beating the air because they're trying to live the Christian life. They're trying to run their race. They're trying to finish, and they're doing it themselves, and they have the wrong purpose, and they're just flapping their hands, and they're just running, and they get exhausted. They get tired. I don't know about you. I get tired just watching someone run. I don't want to run myself. But they're just going through it and they get tired. They get exhausted because they're not doing it for the right purpose, the right reason. They're not having the right focus. They're just going through it and just doing it because that's what we're supposed to do. Because I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm going to go through. And they get exhausted. They get what we call burn out because they're just beating at the air. That's what Paul says. You have to have a purpose. We got to be refocused this morning. As you run your race, as I run my race, that we have the same purpose. And you know what that purpose ought to be? Glorifying God in our race. And I glorify God in my race by what? Finishing that race well that he's given me. Look at verse 27. Just want you to see one other thought this morning. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. That word castaway means not standing the test, not approved. You know what Paul said was a driving force behind his life to finish well? Goes back to what he said before. He didn't want to be a stumbling block to someone else. You know what he's saying? I don't want to fail myself and cause someone else to fail. Now, I understand someone else has to determine to run the race well, but I am to set the example, Paul is saying. I am to run the way I'm supposed to be running. That's why even the Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what he was saying there? He says, I'm not perfect, but my goal is to serve the Lord in my house. Follow me. Paul says this in another portion of Scripture. Follow me as I follow God. He says, not that he was perfect, not that he did everything he should have done, but he's saying this, I don't want to cause you to fall. I want to live a way that you would want to live for God yourself. I want to finish because I want to stand the test of the race that God's given me. In the 1968 Olympics, there was a runner from a country no one ever heard of. That country doesn't even exist today. It was the first Olympics they were in. And I believe maybe the only Olympics they were ever in. They only sent one person, this runner. This runner was running the race and trying to keep up. Early on the race, this runner stumbled. He fell. He dislocated his knee. Many came to him and told him to quit the race. And he said this, my country didn't send me all these thousands of miles to run the race, to start a race, but to finish the race. He got up and he continued to press towards the finish line. Hours later, the most of the crowd is gone. Everyone was cleaning up and done. But there was still one man on the track. And he was still dragging his leg and going towards the finish line. Some 6 hours after the person before him finished, he now is right there. And he crosses the finish line 6 hours later than anyone else. And he repeated that statement. My country did not send me 6,000 miles to start a race, but to finish the race. I want to tell you this morning, God has not saved you to just start a race, but God has saved you to finish the race and finish the race well. And we need to rise up as believers today and say, I'm going to run to obtain, and I'm going to finish the course God has called me to. We didn't have time to get in. Talks about the crown of incorruptible. I'll save that for next week. There's some other things there, but we are to run to finish and finish well to obtain. Then next week, as I said, verse 1 ties us back to this, and he's illustrating this illustration with the illustration of the children of Israel and reminding them, hey, you had all the tools to do well, but you didn't do well. Let me remind us this morning, we're to run that race that's set before us and run it well. Maybe you aren't running well this morning. Maybe you're not saved. Let me tell you, it's not a church that saves you, it's Jesus Christ that saves you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But maybe you're saved. Maybe you're not running as well as you should. Maybe you don't have that self-control. Maybe you haven't put yourself under subjection. Maybe you don't realize your purpose. Maybe there are some things that are slowing you down in your Christian life. Maybe you're not running to obtain. You're just beating at the wind. Whatever it is, let God work in your heart and life. Do business with God. I ask you to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about. The pianist is going to play 390.